Our text for this evening taken from the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning. Genesis chapter 1, if you want to turn with me. I'll read through the first three verses, then we'll open up with prayer and we'll get into our lesson for the evening. And it reads, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light." Let us pray. Gracious God, so grateful, such a blessed time, opportunity, such a wonderful and beautiful life, Lord, that you have given us, Lord. Showing us, Lord God, your love, your mercy, and your goodness. And we just pray, dear God, that as we study your word, Lord, that we would learn more of you, Lord, and learn who we are, Father, and live our lives accordingly. So bless us, dear God, and keep us by your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Genesis 1, chapter 1. I've always talked about the theme of Christ and his church. After all, that's what the Bible is all about. Continuing in our theme of Christ and his church, we will be examining Genesis chapter 1, along with other passages throughout the Old and New Testament, discussing the following three ideas: God's community, God's creation, and God's children. Solomon tells us in the book of Ecclesiastes, "Whatever God does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken from it. God does it that men should fear before him." That's Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse number 14. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, it is common knowledge that that very first mention of God, if we want to get into the original context and the original Hebrew language, and again, this is not something that I can make up. You can look it up for yourselves. But the word God there is Elohim. And that word is actually a plural word. It means more than one. In the beginning, it can be read, "God's created the heavens and the earth." Now, this interests me in the sense that we understand that God is one. "Hear, O Israel, for the Lord our God is one God." So if we understand the God to be one, what is this all about? And right there in the beginning, God introduces us to the concept of the Trinity. The God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, three distinct persons, but equally God. You say, how can God be three and one? I'll give you an example. Our brother Dave, he's a preacher. Is that correct? Is he not a husband? Does he not have children? Is he not a father? There are three facets of his person that are distinct, completely distinct from one another. But he's not three people. He's one person. And see, now if we can compare that, if we can be multifaceted in our nature and our character, how much more the God of the universe? The one who established all things, and he created us in his image. That's a very simple way of looking at it. If someone asks you how God can be three, just simply point it out that it's not really that complicated. It's just a matter of believing and understanding that God is who he is. God can do whatever he desires. He's the creator. He set all things in motion. He is the author of life, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. That's the God that we read about in the Scriptures. So this God introduces himself right off the bat, right out of the gate. He is three in one. He is a plurality. In other words, he is a community. He exists in community. See, when we were born, we weren't born by ourselves. We were born into a family, correct? And when we're born again, we're born into a family, the church, right? So again, God creating man in his image, creating men for community. So we're created by community and for community. This is a plain teaching of Scripture that God, though God is one, he exists in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And even if we're looking at our text and we see further evidence of this, because going down to when he created man, what did he say in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26? What did he say in verse 26? Verse number 26 reads this way. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds in the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And then verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Community. We were created in community. Male and female. Male and female produce children, and that produces a family. And this is what the Bible means when it talks about oneness. We are one because we are born into a community. So we belong. When you have children, they're yours. They belong to you. And you all belong to one another. Your child belongs to his parents, and the parents belong to the child. It's the same idea with God. We are a community because we were created in that context. Take a look at Matthew chapter 3. And this goes into the idea of the Trinity. It says, when he had been baptized, just as Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So we see in that scene, we see the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit engaged in one. They're in the same page. In 1 John chapter 5, starting at verse number 7, for there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. And we don't have time to mention all of the places where Jesus talks about him and the Father being one. and him being one with the Father, and yet distinctly they are God. So this is who we are. Again, no man is an island. No man was born to himself. And all things, according to the scripture, are of God. Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein, who has founded upon the seas and established it upon the waters. That does sound familiar. That's just what we read in Genesis 3. The Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So we see from the beginning God's eternal kingdom unfolding from the very beginning of the Bible. As soon as you open the scriptures, and if you have a heart to understand that this was our eternal destiny. He talks about being predestined in Romans chapter 8. He talks about being predestined to be conformed into the image of God. And Ephesians 2:10 says, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus which for good works that he established beforehand for us that we should walk in them. Now, of course, we're going to draw that dividing line because all were created in the image of God, but all are not God's children. We understand that. And this is for our purpose. Understanding that if we are Christians, if we have obeyed the gospel and we seek to do God's will, this is who we are. And there is a distinction between those that don't serve God and those that do. And when we talked about unity, we're talking about unity among the children of God, the community. We are one community in Christ. We all have the same, as the scripture says in Malachi, have we not all one Father? Have not one God created us? We all belong to him. If we have received him and know him as Lord. Psalm 8. Verse number 3, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the seas. Lo, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. This is our Creator, and this is the honor that he had given us to partake in his glory, to be a part of his kingdom and his creation, and to rule and to reign with him forever, to share in that heavenly kingdom, to share and to be partakers of his eternal plan of redemption. not only are we being redeemed, but we are participating in the redemption of others. Simply by the way that we live, simply by understanding who we are and living that out, men are being drawn to God through our lives, through the light that He has placed in His church. He told His disciples that you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. You are the salt of the earth. In Isaiah chapter 45, verse number 18, starting, "For thus saith the Lord, who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who has established it, who did not create it in vain, who formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I did not say to the seed of Jacob, seek me in vain." So He clearly speaks. And as Paul says, men are without excuse. And in the same token, neither are we. If we can know that we belong to Him, if we can know that we are His ambassadors, as Paul says, compelling men through not only our words but our lives to know their Creator, to come to know their Creator. That's the ultimate goal. Not about changing people, but just bringing them to the Savior. Let Him work in the hearts of our loved ones. As we pray and live out our lives, you'll be surprised how many people are really paying attention. So we take advantage and we share the joy that we have. We share the hope that is in us, as Peter tells us. Be prepared, because they're going to inquire. And when they inquire of us, we can introduce them to the Savior. Is that not the highest honor that anybody can have? You name the most exalted position on earth, it doesn't even compare. President, king, monarch, whatever. It doesn't compare to the honor that God has given His children to be partakers of His redemption, to impact whether a soul goes to heaven or hell. That's a high honor. That's the highest honor. You don't get any higher of God. The Bible, He says he's the high and lofty one. He is the most high. So anything that He partakes of is the highest honor. And He is the most high, and He has given that honor and shared that honor with His children. It's amazing. Colossians chapter 1. Starting at verse number 16. Well, verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God. Of course, we're referring to Jesus. The firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. Watch verse 18. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. So we are the children. We are the heirs of the One who established all things. who set every star in its place and called each one by name, who formed the mountains, who gave the seas their boundaries. This God, who has all power and authority for all of eternity, this God is our Father. And he tells us, he said, we can address this God, our Father, who art in heaven. Our Father. And we talk about being a father. Good father honors his children. How much more God, who is the very essence of what is good, what is holy, what is pure, what is right, the very truth itself. Again, the highest of the high. And he has again chosen us to partake in his life, all that he is. Ephesians chapter 1. Starting at verse number 4. Just as he chose us in him. Again, right there. Before the foundation of the world. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. And it goes on to tell of everything that God has done us. Every spiritual blessing as God, as Paul refers to. So again, this is to stir up in our hearts who we are. And this is the type of news. You know why this is good news? Because on your worst day, you could be having the worst day of your life, but you can look to God and rejoice because you belong to him. Because you know according to the scriptures that all things are working together for the good of those that love God and are called according to his purpose. And you know that you are the called because you've embraced him and you have taken him on in baptism. You accepted the invitation when he called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And you seek to walk in the light, though you may stumble at times, but you seek to continue on in the light. So you know that God is faithful. You know that he is good. You know that you are blessed. You know that you are rich. The Bible says, let the weak say that I am strong. Because why? Because God is our portion. We have no reason to be down. We have no reason to be distraught. We have no reason to be frustrated. Put those things aside and stand in the righteousness that God has given you. This is why Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. We have every reason. Because we are moving towards that time where we're going to meet him. With every moment, we know we're drawing near and near and near to our Savior. And we can see him face to face. And we can commune with Him forever. Imagine that. Proverbs chapter 8. Start at verse number 23. Verse 23. I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth. When there was no depth, I was brought forth. When there was no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet He had not made the earth or the fields or the primal dust of the world. When He prepared the heavens, I was there. When He drew a circle on the face of the deep, when He established the clouds above, when He strengthened the fountains of the deep, when He assigned to the sea its limit so that the waters would not transgress His command. It does sound familiar. When He marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside Him as a master craftsman, and I was daily His delight, rejoicing always before Him, rejoicing in His inhabited world, and my delight was in the sons of men. At the end of all of that, establishing all of the stars and creating the earth and establishing the boundary and stretching out the heavens. And of all of that, wisdom says, or Jesus, who is the wisdom of God, His delight was in the sons of men. So we go back even further and we can say that God created all of this, and He did all of this for us. He created the world for us. Well, I just read it in Genesis. It says, let Him have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air. In Psalms chapter 8. And when we rebel, He said, I'm going to rescue them and I'm going to bring them back to Me and I'm going to give them eternal life. That's what God did for us. So it's always been that way. God does not change. Malachi tells us, Malachi 3, I'm the Lord, I change not. The Hebrew writer says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He loved you then and He loves you now, and He can't love you any more or any less. In Jeremiah 31, the Bible says, the Lord has appeared unto me of old, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you to Myself. In Romans chapter 9, for children not yet born, having done neither good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand of works, but of Him who calls. He saw us from the beginning. He loved us from the beginning. And we'll be concluding. So we see that redemption was not a plan B. From all of eternity, God had us in His heart, His church, His bride. This ought to give us pause to realize the awesome power of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. The power of His redemption, the power of His love,